reading it. That was a prayer that our precious Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And we can not only pray it on our knees in our closet, but we can sing it as we did this morning. Certainly have enjoyed being with you so far. Brother Aiden seems to have somewhat of a handle on me, who I am, so I'll leave that. I've only come to know the Troyer brothers here like 6-7 years ago, maybe. I didn't know them before. But I've come to enjoy being with them. The only place in Mendenhall, I've come different times to that discipleship for ministers. Come to really, really enjoy that. So yesterday we were at a wedding in Holmes County, and this is on the way home. So we had an invitation from Brother Aiden, and we came over here. This afternoon we need to head on home. We've got duties pressing there for tomorrow. Pleased to be with you. It's always good to be with other believers of like precious faith in worship. That is something that is, you know, when you think of people that have, even now, are not able to openly worship for fear of the authorities, we have a very beautiful opportunity. So just for a meditational thought, I'd like to have a central thought here on what God might, this Word of God might speak to us. You know, what Aiden was sharing about the no one is compares to Christ, and we really cannot completely see and understand Him, and yet He has drawn close to us. We have opportunity to draw close to Him, and the written Word that we have bears witness of the living Word. Okay, so that's what we're about this morning. What that might speak to us. So let's turn to Philippians 2. This speaks directly of Jesus. Paul, the writer to the Philippians, Philippians 2, we'll begin in verse 5, speaking to the believer. And it is so amazing to me how that the word spoken then to the people there is just as valid as for us now, as it was for them there. We're a long ways away from where they were both in time and distance. But God is not subject to time and distance. The Spirit is not subject to that. So let's see what Paul was encouraging the Philippian believers there. It says, "Let this mind be in you." It's an encouragement to us now, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is an attitude. This is a mind that Jesus, mindset that Jesus had. He says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So, you know, that's kind of an interesting little statement there. What exactly does that mean? Jesus, you know, other translators say that thought it not a thing to be grasped after to be equal with God. And some of the thoughts that I've had about that is very central to our faith and our practice. Okay? That forms within us an attitude of who we are and who God is. So it says, okay, if I know, okay, just Let's say that in Matthew 18, this man was forgiven the huge, great debt that a man couldn't pay in his lifetime, that he couldn't forgive, a little tiny debt. Because he was not convinced of this. Okay? Think of that. So Jesus was. Jesus could face the enemy, even to death, torture and death, fearlessly. Because of this. Okay? Because of this. He didn't think it robbery. I mean, he was equal with God. And it was not something that he doubted. It gave him all the strength that he needed to face whatever. Okay? Do you think it would for us too? No? Yeah. Yeah. Now, and we're not equal with God. But God is on for us. And 1 John 5, I think it says, he that believeth on the name of the Lord Jesus, he that believeth on Christ Jesus, I can't get the wording entirely, it says, hath the witness in himself. Okay. Now that's what I'm talking about. Now, in other words, he's saying he has the Spirit of Christ in him, the believer. So from there, we should not need to fear, should we? So let's consider what kind of mischief comes out of fear. Okay. We sometimes are expected to forgive a very small debt, right? Can we do that? Said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. How much of our struggle involves right this right now? Yeah. That has to do with who we want to be. Okay. But what Jesus is about is to convince us of who we are in him. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's content, whatever state he is. So Paul, yeah, he was a human, and I think he did struggle at times. But he had tremendous testimony. And so that's for us as well. We call that assurance of salvation, don't we? We believe that. He goes on, made himself no reputation, took upon himself as form of his servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Paul, to the Galatians, says, condescend to men of low estate. Hey, did Jesus do that? Wow. From heaven to earth, voluntarily, to us creatures, to mingle with us, to be with us. Knowing that he has the power and the capacity to deliver us from ourselves and to free us from ourselves and to prepare us to be with him in all eternity. Jesus knew that. And so he came and he did that. Being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then it says, wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now we believe that. We believe that. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Remember that Jesus was highly exalted. And at the same time, he was the lowliest of men. Okay? Now let's... Isaiah was... This is a lamentation or a prophecy against Babylon. Babylon is basically a figure of the enemy. The mother harlot comes forth in Revelation. And then in this prophecy against Babylon, It actually brings out like the spirit of Babylon, the prince of Babylon, you might say, the ruler of Babylon. And it says in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" We notice what it says there, son of the morning. We're talking about Jesus and his highly exalted position. And according to here and in Ezekiel 28, Satan, Lucifer, was probably right next to Jesus in power in heaven. He was powerful, and he was, Ezekiel says he was a covering cherub. Other translations call that a guardian cherub, and so he was a beautiful, powerful angel. And it says in Ezekiel that he was lifted up with pride because of his beauty. And it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations for?" Now this is why. Notice this. This is why. "Because thou hast said in thine heart." I don't think he said it out loud. I don't think he was saying that. I think he was saying that in his heart. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." Now that was... Now compare that with Philippians 2. See? Okay, the very thing that Satan aspired to, Jesus was. Is, and he's not trying to be that. It's not robbery to be that. It's rightfully his. He is that. That's Jesus. That's our Lord Jesus. Okay, now let's go to the book of James. We'll follow our thought through here. Okay, James chapter 4. Verse 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, we have the account of how Satan came to Jesus in the Mount of Temptation, right after his baptism, and tempted him. How Jesus resisted Satan. Okay, we have that account. So he encourages us to resist Satan. He says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." You know, this thing about having the witness within, and like Jesus, didn't consider it a robbery to be equal with God. So we don't consider it robbery to be a child of God. Okay, that's ours by a gift, by His giving it to us. So we don't consider that something to be grasped after. It's something to receive, like we receive baptism. Just by faith. So that's why we can humble ourselves. It says, draw nigh to God, draw nigh. Yeah. We were in verse 8. You're double minded would simply be someone that is not convinced of that. Okay? So that's the basis of a double mind. You can't serve God and mammon. So it says to cleanse your hearts, you double-minded. By faith, no. Rest in that. Remember I said, so much mischief comes out of insecurity and fear. Not being there. like the man that was not able to forgive that great debt. Let's consider, if I have a complaint, if I have a negative thought about my brother in some way, I am saying, you owe me something. In spirit, that's my attitude. Okay. Now let's go on. He says, humble yourselves. No. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Because of who we are and what is within us, the potential constantly for that very thing. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Remember that. In the sight of God. And He shall lift you up. We don't have to. Okay. And then verse 11 says, speak not evil one of another, brother. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. Uh-oh. What are we doing? But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Okay? What did Satan say to himself in his heart? We might be saying that in our heart without realizing it. I began to notice this verse back when we lived in Salem, Indiana. And that was... we moved into Salem, Indiana from Gent, Kentucky in 1997. And we lived there until 2003. So that was during that time. I remember when I first noticed what that really says. So back to speaking evil one of another. Now Jesus, He criticized the Pharisees for their self-righteousness. But He did that directly to them. Okay. He was not afraid to tell them how it is. And He drove the money changers out of the temple. He's still in that business. Yeah. He still does that. There is one lawgiver. And that's not us. That's not you and me. Okay. So when I entertain a thought, when I entertain an attitude against a brother or sister, then I am taking the place of the lawgiver. And there will be a law against that. That kind of an attitude will not be in heaven. Did you ever think what it would be like in heaven if it was? It would be all over again. Same thing all over again. There'd be no advantage over us here now. So that can't go there. Jesus made sure that wouldn't go there. He died. That very thing died. And if we allow that to die with Him, then it will not be there. But if we protect that attitude within ourselves, if we defend that, if we carry that, if we entertain that, if we keep that, how can we ever fit into heaven? It won't happen. We can't. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Okay. Let that judgment, let the living word let the written word bear witness of the living word. And know. Lord bless you.